Can't preach sitting down. Not being tied up. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Are you free?
I am.
I said, are you free?
I am.
Glory to God. Now you're beginning to sound a bit like you're free.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Glory to Jesus. Wednesday night, in our prayer time together, I'd encourage you to come along if you can. Don't care what language you're praying. Pray. Because we will pull down, through the word of God, through the power of prayer, principalities and powers will bow the knee to the name of Jesus Christ. It is prayer that will change the area where we live. It is prayer that will set our destiny on its direction. It is prayer that will release the things of God into our lives. It is prayer that conquers and gives us the victory again and again and again.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, and by the way, again.
Amen.
Amen. Just in case you didn't get the other three. Glory to God. We serve a mighty God. You see, it's not about what you think, it's about who He is. It's not about what you think you are, it's about where is Jesus in your life. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. And we have to put Jesus right into the center of our lives. When there's turmoil around, guess what? We stand in peace.
Amen.
We stand not trying to get a word from God. We stand just wanting to be in His presence. But there's a song we sing, to be in your presence, to sit at your feet. This is what we need to be doing as believers. And then we'll hear the very voice of God speaking to us and saying, this is the way. Walk in it.
Yeah.
Amen? Glory to God. Can you tell I'm excited? Hallelujah. I'm coming back. I'm getting back to strength.
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. A question I asked on Wednesday was, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Okay, give us life. Huh?
In abundance.
In abundance. Yes, John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10. And it says, I have come. Well, it says this, the thief comes. Who's the thief? The devil, Satan. It says, the thief, Satan, comes to steal. Stolen from you. Stolen from many of us. In fact, he's stolen from every one of us. He says he comes to steal. He comes to kill. Three times I've nearly been killed. Twice I've been trapped under a vehicle. Do you know something? I have a destiny. I have a purpose in life, and I have to fulfill it. So the hand of God rests upon us to protect us. But the Satan wants to steal and kill, and he will take every opportunity to steal and kill. He'll steal and kill. He'll try and destroy you by drugs, by alcohol, by throwing your mind into turmoil so that he wants you and tries to persuade you even to commit suicide. It's the best way out. It is not a way out. It's pure escapism. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He says Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. You see, the devil's come to seek and to kill and to destroy you and me. Hallelujah. But Jesus has other ideas. Amen? He's got other ideas. He has a plan. He's a purpose for you and for me. For each and every one of us. You see, Jesus didn't come on this earth to give us a creed, a doctrine. He didn't come on this earth to give us a code of ethics where we've got to live by these codes and by these standards. He said, I've come to give you life.
Amen.
Now most of you could look and say, well, I've got life. And people outside would tell you, oh, I've got life. They've no good destiny. They've no great future. And people out there say, oh, I've got life. You know, I go out on a weekend on a Friday night and I get drunk. And I go out and I get drunk Friday night, I get drunk Saturday night, I get drunk Sunday night, and it's great. And then you say to them, so what happened Friday night, Saturday night and Sunday night? I don't know, I was blind drunk. I don't remember anything about it. You just lost 3 days of your life. I can remember my life. I can remember the exciting times I have with Jesus. I can remember how I see the hand of God moving. I can remember seeing the miracles that God does by His mighty power. I can remember seeing blind eyes open. I can remember seeing and hearing people with deaf impediments and their deaf ears being opened. I can remember these things because we're alive in Christ. He's come to give us an abundant life. And I can remember these things. I can remember seeing souls won to Jesus. I can remember seeing people filled with the Holy Spirit. I can remember seeing people baptized.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I can remember seeing loads of young people giving their lives to Jesus, snatched as brands from the fire, delivered and set free. This is what Jesus came to bring us. An abundant life. Not something where I can't remember what happened yesterday. Like a drug addict, hasn't got a clue where it's happening. He don't know where he is today. He's no idea where he's going to be tomorrow. And all the past, he's no idea. He's been in the gutter somewhere. Stolen from this person, stolen from that person. They're of the Father, the devil. He's came to steal, to kill, to destroy. And the devil puts those thoughts in people's hearts and minds because it's his nature to destroy. See, God is a creative God. He came to create life. Just look at the next person to you. God created them. He made them in His image. Hallelujah. And if you don't like me, you don't like God. Hallelujah. So there you go. He created us. He made us for His joy and His pleasure. That we might have joy. I didn't say happiness.
No.
Take note. Everybody says, oh, all I want to do is be happy. That's just an emotion. That's just, we get up on a morning and the sun's shining and we're happy. Oh, great, the sun's shining, what a beautiful day. And then we get up one morning and it's snowing, it's frozen over. The car's buried under a foot of snow and you have to go somewhere, you're no longer happy. Only the kids are happy when it's snowing. Yeah, we don't have to go to school. Yeah, I know. But so happiness is dictated by what is going on around us, by circumstances. Joy, I'm going to pick that thing up, but it don't come from that. I was going to say, you know, joy comes from this. No, it don't. This only gives a bit of happiness. You see, joy comes from this book, the Word of God. This is where your joy is. This is where your purpose in life comes from. This is what it's about. And joy is a gift. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives, you see. When you and I are rooted and grafted into Jesus, the vine. He says when we're grafted into Him, His life flows through us. Hallelujah. His life is flowing through us. I've come that you and you might have life. His life flowing through us. You see, God is not a God of death. He's a God of eternity.
Amen.
Amen. He's a God of life. He's the life giver. When you read Genesis, in the beginning, God said, let there be. And he breathed into Adam the breath of life.
Amen.
Wow. In other words, God kissed him on the lips. Wow, can you imagine that? Being kissed by the Creator. That's another message on its own. I could run with that one. Being kissed on the lips by your Creator. Being kissed on your lips by Father God. See, that's where we need to be. Forget all these ideas of how do we get close to God. Just begin to love Him and let Him love you. You read Solomon, the book of Solomon, you know, to be kissed by the kisses of his lips, to be embraced in a lover's arms. God loves us. Solomon knew that. Solomon knew how much God loved him. And yet he lived in the Old Testament. And yet people today in church do not know how much God loves them. We need to begin to embrace the Father and let the Father embrace us. Now, I know some of you might say, well, if you'd have had a father like my father, you wouldn't want to be embraced by him. Well, let me tell you this. When you came to Jesus, you came to a different father. You came to a different father figure. And I'll tell you what. Every one of us needs to be embraced by our Heavenly Father. We need to feel His touch. We need to hear the whispers of Him speaking to us. We need to feel the kisses of His lips upon us. I tell you, when you've felt that, when you've experienced that for yourself, there's nothing worth looking at. There's nothing worth going for, only for God, for Jesus, because the kingdom of God will set you free. When Jesus begins to inhabit you, when that Spirit of God begins to move in your life and flow through you, there's nothing like it, is there, Esther? It is so exciting when the Holy Spirit begins to move. Hallelujah. I get so excited when I realize I'm forgiven.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm forgiven.
Amen.
Are you forgiven?
I am.
Amen. Hey? I said, are you forgiven?
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. That is something to get excited about. I've been forgiven. I'm redeemed. I'm set free.
Amen.
Now the devil's going to try and tell you something else.
Yes.
He's going to say, remember your past?
No.
Remember the days before you met Andrew? And he's going to we don't have a past.
No.
We're a people without a past. We've only got a future. Well, you've got preaching a message. Hallelujah. We've only got a future in God.
Amen.
Amen? No past. We're people of the future. Amen. With a destiny. Glory to God. We have a destiny.
Amen.
We have a purpose.
Right.
You see, when we came to Jesus and we received Him as our Lord and Savior, God then gave us a purpose to live for. Gave us a purpose to live for and a destiny to go for. Hallelujah. And God intends that you will fulfill it. But the only way that we fulfill it is when we let Him take the driving seat of our lives. When we let Him become the center of all things. Some folks say, it's easy for you, Andrew. It's no easier for me than it is for you. It's no more difficult for me than it's difficult for you. Because every one of us, no matter who we are, where we've lived, what we've done, we always face challenges. Because Jesus says, Satan has come. He's come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And you could stop there and think, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to just have to hide away. I'm just going to have to avoid everything because Satan's going to try and kill me, destroy me. But you don't stop reading there. You could have a totally different picture if you stopped reading any more than that. You know, I've just been freaked out. The devil's after me. And then Jesus says, hey, but I, the I am, the I am has come that you might have life and have it. More and more and more and more and more abundantly.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, God gives without measure. The word says, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God give unto you. What do you need? Everything that you and I have need of, God has got it. He might use a man. He might use a system to give it to you. Hallelujah. Thank you for the system. Amen. They've gone through the issues of building and doing all the things that need to be done. And God said, I've got somebody lined up for that one. In fact, I'm just thinking, yeah, I was probably born, just born when this place was built.
Yeah.
And God said, I got a building lined up for that young fella.
Amen.
Gonna be one of my kids. Going to be one of my sons. Glory to God. You see, God's already got next year planned. You think you have. You think, oh, well, we're going to go to so-and-so and so-and-so. God can change it like that. God can stop it. If you listen with the Spirit. Because God wants you to walk in the best. God wants you to have the best. God wants you to be the best. When I pray for our young people, I pray that a spirit of excellence will be upon them. That when they go to school, when they take exams, that they will be an excellent student. And that when they pass their exams, they will have excellent results. They do have to try and work as well at it, you know. But we pray that God will assist them. Amen? That's how you pray for young people. God will minister to them that they will catch a vision of the Lord and know Him in great power. You know, the nature of Satan is what we had before we met Jesus. And it was a destructive nature. You see the wars that we have going on in society. You see the killings. Even recently, in the last few days, even in our old country, two or three people have just been shot and killed. That's the nature of Satan. That's the nature of a sinful nature that comes through the devil. But you see, when the Spirit of God comes in and we become born again, there is a new nature. The nature of God. Hallelujah. That comes into us. And that nature is a nature that brings life. It brings peace. It brings joy. It brings hope. Hallelujah. He's a God of the future. He's a God that brings you and gives you a destiny and a purpose to live for in life. Hallelujah. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. But he prefers to live.
Amen.
And at the moment, so do I.
Amen.
I want to live for Christ.
Yeah.
For me to live is Christ. To die would be gain. I would pass into eternal the presence of him. who loved us and died for us and set us free.
Amen.
Be great. But guess what? I'd miss you guys for a while. So I want to just be doing what God wants me to do. Now the enemy says, I'm going to stop him. And he will throw anything and everything he can to prevent me fulfilling the plans and purposes that God has for my life. And he will do exactly the same to you. But God said, but, watch them buts. But I have come that you might have life and have it more and more and more abundantly. Praise his wonderful name. If we turn to 2 Peter and chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. I said earlier that we are partakers of the divine nature. Yeah. Peter says, I said Second Peter, no wonder it don't look right in First Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter, that's it. 2 Peter chapter 4. Everybody got it? Made notes? Good. And it says this: for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. In order that by them precious, magnificent promises, that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature,
Amen.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You see, the world is corrupted by the lust. So sad. The lust of money, the lust of power, the lust for women, the lust for things. You see, in the garden, in the beginning, when Satan came in the garden, he said, why don't you eat it? Not kill you? I guess that's how you... some of you drug addicts set off. Have a bit, it won't kill you. There's the first lie. Won't do you any harm. You just get a good kick. If you get kicked in the right place, you'll die. But that's how it started, I guess, at times. You know, not hurt you. You'll enjoy this. It'll make you happy. Just for a while, till it wears off. And then, you'll be sad. You'll be depressed. Then you'll have to take some more. And so it goes on. We're a bit like that with Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I've got to keep partaking. I'm addicted to Jesus. I've got an addiction. I'm addicted to Jesus. But guess what? There is no damaging health effects. There's no warning on the packet saying this might damage your kidneys, this might damage your heart, this might damage your brain. There is no health warning on this packaging. Because it says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. That's the health warning. If you want abundant life, begin to partake of this book. If you want abundant life and peace in your life, partake of this book, Jesus. Hallelujah. He says so. In Peter, he says so that we might become the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust. We've escaped. By partaking of this divine nature, we've been delivered. We've been set free. We're no longer under the grip of the enemy. Oh yeah, he might try and claw us back now and again. He might try and attack us. But Jesus, the word says that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You see, we have a greater one within us. And his name is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sits and resides within us. If we allow him to take his seat, to be seated on the throne, we sing that chorus, Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you as king. What are we singing? What the real meaning of that is when we sing, Jesus, we enthrone you, we're saying, Lord Jesus, come and sit on the throne of my life. Come and sit inside me. Come and take control of my life and direct my life. That's what we're doing when we sing, Jesus, I enthrone you. Yeah. Lord, I proclaim you king. King of what? Not king of this earth. He already rules and reigns. It belongs to him anyway. But we're surrendering our free will and saying, Lord Jesus, be king. Take control of this lawlessness. Amen. Lord, begin to direct this life. Yeah. And as you allow Jesus to direct this life, you will have it more and more and more and more abundantly. That's right. The Apostle Paul says, in him I live and move and breathe and have my very, very, very being. The very essence of my life is from Jesus. When Adam sinned, death came. When God came into the garden that day looking for Adam and Eve, they were hiding. Death had come upon them. It says their eyes were opened. What does that mean? It means that they no longer saw the glory of God. They no longer saw the glory over their life that covered them. They no longer saw that glory that gave them eternal life. You see, when they were created, they weren't created to die. They were made in the image of God. And God's not going to die. And so when we're made in the image of God, God never planned for us to die. But the devil came to steal your life, to bring death, to destroy you. And so Jesus, when he came, he says, I've come to change that. Amen. I've come to bring back to that which God created in the beginning. I've come to restore all of that back. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be. So if you want to know what God's plan is for you, read Genesis Chapter 1, 2 and 3. And part of the plan is God turns up every day and says, let's have a sit down and a great chat together. Let's spend some quality time together. And let's just relax in all of this beauty that has been created. No stress, no pressure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just think on those thoughts for a few moments and see what God wanted to do. God wants his nature to be in us. He wants that nature to invade us, and it will drive out the works of the enemy. But you need to be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not, will run out. We need, you see, why did God come and meet with Adam? Number one, he was so in love with his creation. But at the same time, he knew he wanted to be involved and be filling his creation. And his creation be feeling the presence of him. You see, when they sinned, they lost that covering. They lost that nature. You see, that nature that gives divine life died in them. I don't know if ever you have ever had that experience where somebody's come up to you and said, there's something different about you. What is it? I have. People said, what is it about you? There's something different. It's not that I've got two heads and anything like that, but they just there's something about you that's different. And I just pray and I just hope and believe that it's people begin to see the nature of God. Begin to see the nature. What is the nature of God? God is love. Jesus said, love one another. As I, God, have loved you. This nature flowing through our very beings. And you see, they lost it. Suddenly life became drab and dull. Yeah. Something was missing in their life. You might say, how can you say that? Well, we can look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5. And that's the story of when Moses was in the wilderness and he was looking after a herd of sheep. All Moses could hear for the last... All Moses had been hearing for the last 40 years was... Bah, bah, tupping and butting. That's the only thing he'd basically got to talk to. Every day. Bah, bah. And then suddenly it says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, Moses had seen a bush burning in the wilderness. Often happens. So initially he looked at it and thought, yeah, it's just a bush that's burning. It'll be gone in a few moments. So dry. Look back and it's still burning. In fact, it's burning brighter. He thought, well, that's interesting. I thought that would have gone out by now. So, got his attention. This glow, which appeared to be a bush burning. So Moses began to walk towards it. And then a voice speaks out of this glowing fire. This glory. And says, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. People, I want to be standing on holy ground. When I'm standing on holy ground, we're in the presence of the Almighty. I want to stand on holy ground. And I'm not saying this to be, you know, to get some effect. I really mean, I want to stand on holy ground. I want to be as close as I can get to God. And at that point, God speaks to him and calls him. You see, the glory of God, that which was in the beginning, that covered Adam and his beautiful wife Eve, that glory, they burned with a fire. The glory. You look in Exodus chapter 33. And you see that 33. And you see that Moses had come down the mountain. Sorry, it's 34. Exodus 34 and verse 29. Moses had come down the mountain. He'd been with and in the very presence of God, receiving God's commandments, receiving from God. And as he came down the mountain, he didn't realize that his face was shining. He burned with the glory of God. He was being taken back to the very form of the beginning of creation of Adam and Eve. And he burned with the glory. You see, this that had happened to Moses would also have been happening with Adam and Eve, because they were in the very presence of God. And the people said to him, cover your face. Cover your face. We can't stand that. You see, sin cannot stand the glory of God. Nothing sinful can stand in the very presence of God, because that fire will burn, and it will burn up all that dross. That's why God said to Moses, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. Honor me. Submit to me and to my ways. We turn to Matthew chapter 9. Just want to emphasize this point. Mark chapter 9. I get it right. Mark chapter 9. I read this today and I saw something in it that I'd never seen before. I find that staggering at times. Mark chapter 9 and verse 2. And it says this, and 6 days later, and I thought, 6 days, the number of man. In one translation, I think it's in the King James, it says, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. He's moving into the seventh day.
Yes.
He's moving into the day of God.
Amen.
He's moving into the day of perfection.
Yeah.
We're on the very verge of the seventh day. The end of man and the beginning of God's eternal reign. We're moving into that seventh day. And he says, he brought them up to a high mountain by themselves, and he, Jesus, was transfigured before them, and his garments became radiant and exceedingly white, not as a launderer on earth could have whitened them. And Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. The disciples, James and John and Peter, had such a privilege to go up the mountain and see the future. They saw the future. They saw Jesus transfigured. They saw Jesus with the very glory of God. They saw the Son of God. They didn't just see Jesus. They saw the Son of God. And they saw something of heaven's glory radiating from his very body. This is the Jesus that we serve. This is the Jesus that we love. This is the Jesus that died and rose again from the dead for you and for me. This is the Jesus, the very Son of God. And the glory of heaven came down. Heaven touched earth. And Elijah and Moses appeared shining from the glory of heaven themselves. I tell you, what a sight. You know, the disciples said, okay, let's build a monument. It's not about monuments. It's not about building a temporary shelter building. But it's about this building.
Yeah.
It's about this body being filled with the very glory of God. Being filled full and overflowing. Being filled by the power of the Spirit and seeing and feeling and sensing the presence of the glory of God. And that at some stage, I honestly believe this, I'm expecting to see this, I expect to see some people who have got so close to God begin to shine.
Amen.
Begin to shine.
Yeah.
Because you see, God has got this process going on. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And Jesus took three of his disciples, special disciples who were close to him, and he took them higher.
Yeah.
Let's go higher.
Amen.
He took them up the mountain. He took them higher. And God wants to take you and me higher. And we'll let him, when we let him take us higher,
Amen.
We will begin to see the glory. We will begin to sense and feel the power of God moving in our lives. And we'll see the greatness of who God really is. Why did Jesus come? He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came that we might have eternal life. And have it to its abundance. An eternal life starts right now.
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
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 I have come, he said,
Amen.
That you might have life. Have you got life?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise God. I want to see you transfigured next.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to see the glory on you. Seriously. I'm not joking when I say it. I don't know what I'd do. Honestly, I don't know what I'd do, but to see the glory of God. I've seen glimpses of it. I felt the train of his garment filling the temple. I was sharing with the guys the other night. The one time we felt the very tangible presence of the garment of God, his train filling the temple. And I said, Lord, I want to see it again.
Amen.
I want to feel it again. I want to do it again. I want to be, Lord, what you created me to be for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just stand a moment, please. I've sought to inspire you by the Word of God, not by emotions, I trust, but by purely and simply the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to have such a desire to press into the things of God and to come into His presence and to sit at His feet and to let that word begin to work in you and just relax in his presence and feel the power and the glory. And I just want to encourage you to do that today. And if you want, we will pray for you and lay hands on you. I'm going to the challenges. Who wants to go to the next level?
Amen.
Who wants to go to the next level?
Amen.
If you do, come out here. We're going to lay hands. We're just going to pray for you. You're going to make this. This is going to be a statement that you make before principalities and powers. And you say, I'm going to the next level. I'm not doing it with an emotional call. It's just purely and simply, what do you really want? Are you satisfied with what you've got? I'm not. But then again, a lot of folks say, well, you're never satisfied. No, I will never be satisfied till I fulfill all that God has for me. I'm hungry and I'm thirsting. And the devil knows that, and the devil's tried to stop me. He might knock me over sometimes, but I'm going to get up.
Amen.
I'm going to get up. Amen. You only lose a fight when you stay down. The winner always gets up. And we can get up together, encouraging one another. So if you just feel you want prayer, then just let's just spread across the front of the building. Let's believe God. Come with a desire. Come with a hope and a heart. This is not to bring judgment or condemnation on anybody. But this is, you know, where do you want to go? And you know there's going to be some changes have to go on in your lives. You know, God's going to be starting to maybe dig a little bit deeper into this physical temple. Maybe he's going to have to start cleaning some things out. But this is, there's that great song that used to be sung in the Billy Graham Crusades. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And it goes on to say, and as thou bids me, come to me. O Lamb of God, I come. All to Jesus, I surrender. All. That means you have nothing. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. I don't hold anything back. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. And as we do that, it may be a price to pay. But I'll tell you what, the rewards will be far greater than any price of something that is worthless, that we've lost, that we thought was important. Hallelujah.
As I was having a quiet time with the Lord before we came this morning, just preparing my heart and praying for God's anointing on the what was going to happen here today, God just spoke straight into my spirit, and I haven't communicated with Andrew today. I don't know in the clue what he was preaching on or anything else, but God said to me, I want you to go to higher ground, because that's where you're going to break through. You need to be on the high ground. So praise God.
And that's the truth. We haven't communicated, and I'll tell you, we never do communicate again as regards what I'm preaching on. But today, if you'd asked me what I'm preaching, I would have said to her, I don't have a clue. Seriously. I was restless in my study. I'm saying, God, I don't have a word. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I had to get to that place where I allow him to become the Prince of Peace. And then he reminded me, he said, you asked a question on Wednesday. Why did Jesus come? And then it just began to flow. He came that we might have life. I'm going to anoint each and every one of you firstly. And Grace, do you want to just anoint that side? We'll anoint them, and then we'll pray a prayer over us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That precious anointing. Hallelujah. Wonderful Saviour. You know, even right now as we're just anointing you, you can be receiving from God. It is not just dependent on me. It's not about me. It's about you and Jesus. It's about you and Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It is all about you and Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Going to that new ground.
Amen.
Going to that new ground. Amen.
Just join hands. And everybody else, just join hands together right now. Hallelujah. Oh God. Jesus, oof, precious Saviour. Father, as we come before you, Lord, you are preparing your people, and Lord, we're all at different stages of readiness. And Father, some are further on than others. And Lord, as they have stepped forward into going higher, into new ground, O God, I just pray that your power, your anointing, your mighty protection will rest mightily upon them and upon the rest of this congregation, upon the rest of these believers in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that, Lord, you would strengthen us by your word, that, Father, your word would be so strong amongst us. Oh, Jesus, so strong amongst us, Father, that we would know such a power flowing through each and every one of us, oh God. Lord, today we bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we say, come, Lord Jesus, in power. Come by your Spirit in power and touch us, Father. Father, I pray that you would set each and every one of us on fire for you, O God, and that your glory will be seen in this place. That, Lord, we will be a people of signs and wonders and of miracles. Lord, you said, greater works shall we do in your name. And so, Lord, we submit all of these things to you and say, Lord, we want, Lord, you to be the center of our life, center of all things. And so, Lord, we just come before you and we ask, Father, that, Lord, you would equip this body for your praise and for your glory. That, Lord, this body will affect this area in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, equip us, O God. Equip us, Father, by the power of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Fall afresh upon us. In Jesus' name. Fall afresh in Jesus' name. Fall afresh in Jesus' name. Oh, step up. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we worship you.